that question? Yeah, you have. Judges 1, Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. No, really? So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian did prevail against Israel because of Midianite. The children of Israel made them for themselves the dens and caves and the strongholds of which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had a son, the Midianite would come up. Also Malachite and people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tent and coming as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camel were without number, and they would enter into the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianite, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, verse 6. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of Midianite, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, and who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God, do not fear the gods of Amorite, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth tree, which was Ophrah, and which belonged to the Joash in Abizrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianite. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianite. All right, give me your interpretation, please. If I were the angel of the Lord, I would slap this boy's back of his head. But then again, how many times I would deserve the whack from the Lord on the back of my head? 10 times. All right, yes. Okay, good. Who else?
The angel comes to him and declares him to be a mighty man of valor.
Yeah, but that's at that point probably the Gideon will go like, whom are you talking to?
And Gideon's response is, to paraphrase it, he's kind of saying, well, Why has all this happened to us? Why didn't you do anything? And he's so the angel is coming to him saying, you are a mighty man of valor. He has trouble accepting that, but at the same time he's expecting God to do everything for him rather than through him.
Okay, what does it mean to call? You know where I would say this, right?
Expect things to be done for you. God works through people, and so if you see a situation that to be fixed, then maybe God's looking to you as the solution rather than looking to you to just sit there and complain.
In other words, be a solution, part of the solution instead of being a part of the problem. Good. But we, Gideon missed the point, and so do we here. Well, by he's putting the blame on God. You are not doing anything for us. Why God is not doing anything for them or for us? Because maybe we did something wrong? Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he knows he's not the brave person. If he was a brave person, he would not do the threshing and the wine press where it's deep down. Okay. You were in the wine press? Okay, Jen, you raised your hand.
I did not.
Okay.
I did? I think I did.
Oh. Okay. My bad.
Actually, who's that prophet in seven?
Unnamed person, unnamed the prophet, never mentioned.
I tell them what the problem is, but then they must not have listened to it.
What we see here is a typical of us. When the things goes bad, things go bad, and we tend to put the blame on God, don't we? And maybe we should look back. Did I cause things to happen, fall apart? Here, Gideon doesn't. He knows that, well, that you did all this for our forefathers, but you are not doing anything for us. Why is that? It's your fault. You are not doing enough for us. You should look at the situation. Maybe we are doing something not right. Okay, here's my interpretation. It's not a matter of what we can do for the Lord. Rather, it is a matter of what the Lord can do through us if we are willing to obey Him. They were not obeying the Lord all this time. That's why they're being punished. All right, Midianite devastated and demoralized Israelite and degrading the people to the point almost like they were living like animals and living in the dens and caves. That's not a good situation. And they were forced to live in their places. Now, sorry. Idolatry sin of Israelite robbed their hard work as our sins rob us of what we, our hard work hard to gain. Satan come to steal and kill and destroy. And our sin is right there to help. Can I change the slide? Listen carefully, please. Chastening from our Lord is the proof of His hatred for our sins, but His love for us. If He didn't love us, He would not chasten us. To give us nothing but the best, He give us the holy character like His own Son, Jesus Christ. Obedience to the Lord edifies our character, but the sin destroys it. Our Lord does not sit on His hand and let it happen. Through this unnamed prophet, the Lord told them what the problem was. Because Israelite was so ungodly and so disobedient that they could not fight against a Midianite. Isn't that typical? We often blame others for the problem that we caused. Often in the Old Testament, when the Lord denounced His people for their disobedience, He reminded them of the wonderful way He delivered them out of Egypt. He also reminded them His generosity, that how He provided everything for them in the Promised Land. He was not bragging, He was just making a statement. if the Jews were suffering from the Gentile bondage, it wasn't because the Lord caused it. He had given them everything they needed. The Lord told them, if all you have to do is just obey me, guess what they do? They disobey God. And then they say, why are you letting this kind of thing happen to us? Really? When we read the New Testament epistles, we cannot help but notice the apostles took the same approach why they admonished the believers. The apostles repeatedly remind the Christians that God has saved them so that they can live obedient and serve the Lord faithfully. The motive for the Christian living is not that we can gain something we don't have, but that we might live up to what we already have in Christ. Did you get that? God already provided everything that we need. And you may say, like what? He didn't give me a Lamborghini. Have you ever thought about the paying for the insurance? Just for the insurance? And how much for the, it doesn't even take unleaded gas. It has to be special unleaded gas. I would get a ticket every other blocks.
I read a story one time in Daily Bread. Guy bought a McLaren, real nice car like that. Day later, he wrapped it around a tree.
Okay. This scene in verse 11, let's go back to verse 11. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree and belonged to the Joash of Israelite while the Gideon threshing the wheat in the wine press in order to hide from the Midianite. When you thresh in the wheat, this is something that I remember when I was a kid. My mother's side, a relative, they had a farmhouse, so we were there from time to time. They grind it and then put it in the big thing and stretch it into the air and they'll let the wind blow the chaff away. And they get the granules. You do that on top of the mountain, top of the hills where the wind is freely move around. This guy was doing it in the wine press where is the bottom of the place. In other words, he was scared of the Midianite. So he was not the courageous man. It was a humiliating thing for him to hide like that. It doesn't take a genius to figure out that Gideon was not the man of courage. But the Lord was willing to use him because no one would ever believe that it was Gideon who won the battle. Why did the Lord see the Gideon that he was willing to use him? Because Gideon did not worship Baal like the rest of his family. He was treated as a least of his father's house. And the Lord was always ready to make us what we need to be if we are willing to obey his will. Keep your finger there and go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for great good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, let's take a look at the question number 2 in verse 14. The question number 2 that summarizes from the verse 14 through 24 is, does God know what he is doing? Have you thought about that? Yes, we have. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go in the might of yours. You shall save Israel from the hand of Midianite. Haven't I sent you? And he said to him, O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and I shall defeat the Midianite as one man. Then he said to him, if now I have found a favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come back. Verse 19. So Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread for an ephod of flour. The meat he put in the basket, and he put the broth in the pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented him. And the angel of the God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff which was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And the fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. He was a kind of slow, but he got it. The angel said to, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, excuse me, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear. You shall not die. Verse 24. So Gideon built an altar. Hold on. Built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. Underline that, please. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of Israel. Okay. I actually underline that the Lord is peace. Anyone can tell me in Hebrew words?
Shalom.
The Lord is peace. That's peace. Jehovah peace, shalom. Yahweh, act to be exact, Yahweh, shalom. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Yes?
This is just those that the Lord calls.
Good.
Because we know, I mean, knowing the whole story, we know what's going on with Gideon, but I mean, you're an example, I feel I'm an example. Those that the Lord calls, if we see.
Yeah. The more you and I both think about it, is why am I even bothered to be a pastor?
The least of the least of the least. Yes.
Yeah. Whenever God calls us to a task, we should be careful to follow His direction, not on our own. And it doesn't matter what kinds of degrees you have. That's why I know others. It's great for you to have all these degrees. Bible college degree, seminary degree, all that is, you know, PhD, THD, PhD stands for pile high and deep. I know I make fun of it because I don't have it. They earned it, but at the same time, that is not the call of God. The call of God is different than degrees and another human handed out. There was an incident in our church. We were meeting at the school auditorium. At the end of the service, each time, and this guy, one particular guy, was a woo and ah, and he said, that's the best expository study I ever sat under. And he went on, and I was thinking, oh, with that kind of praise, you're not going to last long. Typical. It's always that way. And then he found out that I don't even have a Bible college degree or seminary degree. Didn't last long. Next day, he disappeared. He doesn't understand anything about the call of God. Gideon questioned God's wisdom in choosing him to be the nation's deliverer. And if God did not know what he was doing. Does God know what he's doing? Is there anything that is hidden from His sight? But we think so. We think that we know more than God. The Lord's statement in recording verse 12 and 14. Let's go back there. Verse 12 and 14. I'm sorry. Yeah, let's start at verse 12. The Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." In verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the mighty might of yours, and you shall save the Israel from the hand of Midianite." Really? How are you going to come up with that kind of concept? You know, Gideon should have assurance all he need. But he wouldn't believe what God's word. In this, he's like a Moses. Remember when Moses was recruited to burn in front of burning bush? What kinds of attitude did he have? Okie-dokie, where do you meet a sign? Did he do that?
No.
He was coming up with all the lame excuses. And, you know, obviously Gideon knew the Hebrew history well. And he shouldn't know about the Moses, but he's coming up with the same story. In our previous study that we have learned, God's commandment is what? Any of you guys remember? God's commandment is God's enablement. Exactly. Same thing with what the pastor Merrill said, God, whom those who God called, God equipped. And once God was called and commissioned us, all we have to do is obey Him by faith. He will do the rest. Let me say this, and I hope that you guys remember this. God cannot lie. And nor can he do ever fail. Faith means obeying God in spite of what we see, what we hear, what we feel, or what the consequences might be. What about this? Like the second pastor in Canada, he was arrested because he was having a service. You know, Canada has become quite pathetic now. Thanks to that Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau guy. And whole country is turning into socialism. And should that pastor just, I'll just sit back and let God handle it and I'll just wait until he opened the door. No. He started the ministry. He continued in the service. God bless him for that. God's assurance to Gideon was not to build up his self-confidence, but to assure him that God was indeed with him. Gideon did not need more self-confidence, but he needed more God confidence. That's what we need, God confidence, relying on Him. Can I change the slide? God had to give the Gideon a message of peace to prepare him for fighting a war. Unless we are at peace with God, we cannot face the enemy with the confidence and fight the Lord's battle. Gideon now believed that the Lord is able to use him, not because of who he is, but because who our God is. Whenever God called us to a task that we think is beyond us, we must be careful to look to God, not to ourselves. Even if it's something that we can handle, should we rely on Him or should we just wing it? Remember, I love this, what David did. He asked the Lord, should we take that stronghold of enemy? I forgot the name of it. And the Lord said, yes, take them. I already gave them to you. Okay. All right. Second battle. He could say, oh, we already won the battle. So why bother to ask? God is busy. No, he asked him again. Should we go back? And should we go attack this city? He said, yes. But this time go all around. He prepared them. It's easy for us to think that we've done this before. Why don't we just do it again? No. If we do it again, we do it with our might. Let's do it, everything, according to His might. Amen? Luke chapter 1, please. If you haven't memorized this, I want you to memorize this first. It's not that difficult. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. You there? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Are you there? Would you repeat with me? For with God, nothing will be impossible. All right, back to Judges 6:25. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, that take your father's young bull and the second bull of the 7 years old. How does he know all that? Because he's God. Tear down the altar of the Baal that your father has and cut down the wooden image that is beside it. And build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of this rock in the proper arrangement. Take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took the 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord has said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, who has done this? When they had inquired and asked, and they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Verse 30. Then the man of the city said to Joash, bring out your son, that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. So Joash said to all who stood against him, would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying that let the Baal plead against him because he has torn down his altar. All right, give me your interpretation, please. Anyone?
He's afraid to do it exactly the way he does. So he does it by night. Early the next, what he did in the night is already all around the town. Don't go with my fear of what others are going to think or most you, because everybody's going to.
Good. Good one. Yeah, what she said? No. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's not doing it
faultly
and adjusting out and doing it. He's resorting back to.
Okay. What does it mean to Cindy? Sorry? What does it mean to Cindy? Interpretation, not the observation.
So in that observation, we need to be, instead, he should focus on God. He already read and be in front of him.
Okay, good. Who else? I'm looking for sequence. I want you to notice there is a sequence. Do you see the sequence? Before God used him for mighty work, something had to go first.
You got to get rid of the idols.
Okay? This is what I see. True believer cannot build an altar to our God unless first we tear down the altar in our heart and therefore any other gods, including ourselves. Do you have a God in your heart? I did. Sometimes I still do. That called known as self. They're constantly fighting against God. God called Gideon to get his house in order first. Gideon lacked the courage, so he did it. He couldn't do it during the daytime, so he did it at night. Okay, so it's timidly obey the Lord, but it's better than not obeying at all. Gideon's father made a very logical argument. If the Baal could not defend himself, then it's not much of a God, is it? The town people didn't argue with him. There's a story that I was told. There was a great move of God in the South Sea, Pacific South Sea. And one tribal chief was converted, and this is around 19th century. This tribal chief became a born-again Christian. And he knew that what God wants is no more idolatry. So he told his people to bring all the idols in the town. They all brought all of their idols. And he put them in front of him. All the idols in front of me. He yelled at these idols, not the people. Yelled at the idols. I'm going to give you one chance to run away before I destroy you all. And none of the idols moved. So he started to destroy all the idols. What he presented to his people is, your idol are nothing. And what this Gideon's father did is, Baal is nothing. It's worth noting that the true believers can build an altar, cannot build an altar to the Lord unless first he tear down the altar in his heart, in their heart. They're built it to the false God, including ourselves. The worship. I'm sorry, my bad. Our God is a jealous God. We all know that, right? Jealous for us. And will not share his glory or our love with another. Verse 33. Then all the Midianite and Amalekite, the people of the east, gathered together, and they crossed over, encamped in the valley of a trumpet. Abizrite gathered behind him, that is Gideon, and he sent the messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent a messenger to the Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. They came up to meet him. So Gideon said to him, note this, please. If you will save, that is God, he said to God, if you will save Israel by my hands as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is a dew on the fleece only, it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save the Israel by my hand as you have said. Note that thing, please. First one is in verse 36. And if you will save, this is what already the Lord told him, you will save the Israel by my hand as you have said. And then it's verse 37, second half. You will save the Israel by my hand. He knows what the Lord said. And it was so. When he rose early next morning, they would squeeze the fleece together. He wrung two out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me. Let me speak just once more, let me test, I pray, just one more with the fleece. Let it not be dry only on the fleece, but all the ground, let there be a dew. And God did so that night. It was a dry on the fleece only, and there were dew all the ground. Give me your interpretation, please. Okay. How do you know it's God? How do you know it's God? Huh?
You have to tell us.
Okay. Good. Good answer. Yes?
Well, I think this is also evidence that it's very, very patient God.
No.
Well, I don't personally, I know I wouldn't put up with that. It'd be, I told you once already.
Zip.
Yes, but, you know, all joking aside, it is proof that we serve a very, very patient God because he was willing to listen and then
to show him the signs that he requested, to give him the faith and the strength that he needed to be able to go out and do what he was called to do.
Okay. What does it mean to you?
What does it mean to me? Well, I think it's a good reminder for me that I need to be more cautious in how I approach the Lord and not be testing him. That whenever I know the Lord's telling me to do something, and not keep waiting and balking. Well, Lord, well, just one more sign. Just one more sign. I'll believe you can give me one more sign. That's for me. How's that?
Good. Okay. What else? Anyone? Okay, this is what I see. What God promises, he keeps. He's not only promise maker, he's promise keeper. And we should not doubt his word. How do we know it's God's word? Keep it in context. Take it out from the word of God. God really doesn't care whether you wear the yellow socks or the orange socks. God doesn't care whether you eat the double-double at the In-N-Out or the Dunkin' Donuts. That's up to you. For the important thing, God will tell you. Whatever I do, would it glorify God? Does God care whether you have a silver car or the white car? Whatever turns you on. But he will care if you're going into heavily in debt with that car. Okay, this follows a similar pattern of the spiritual work upon man under the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit come upon a specific people for a specific reason, usually divine empowered leadership. But under the New Covenant, broad and generous outpouring of the Holy Spirit is promised upon all born-again believers. How do I know? Because whenever we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what happened? We all have a Holy Spirit within us. The Midianite and their ally made the annual invasion, as we read, and in chapters down the road, we find that there are 135,000 people, soldiers moved into the valley of Jezreel, according to chapter 7. It was time for Gideon to act, and the Spirit of God gave him the wisdom and power he needed. It was surprising for Gideon to send out the email, and everybody respond. And there were 32,000 people respond. We're going to find out more about them. And this is the first mention of in the Bible that camel was mentioned as being used as in the military. Okay. Israeli soldiers at that, probably farmers, bunch of farmers and ranchers, and there were a bunch of infantry, they are on their feet. And then he's a Midianite, were riding camel. Have you seen the camel riders? They are way higher than the horse. And when they whack it with a big, humongous thing, it's not a pleasant thing to be in their way. They can be outnumbered, they can be outmaneuvered, except one thing. Israel has a God. Makes a difference. Nevertheless, Gideon doubted God's promise again twice. And then he repeated the same thing twice, but he come up with his own scheme. Phrase, putting out the fleece, is a familiar term in a Christian circle. It means asking God to guide us in the decision by fulfilling certain conditions that we lay down. Okay, question. Is a fleeing, putting out the fleece, is it biblical or not biblical? Yes, no?
No.
It's in the Bible.
Huh? That doesn't mean God
condoned it. It is not. Putting out the fleece is not biblical method of determining the will of God. Rather, it is an approach used by the people like Gideon who lack the faith to trust God to do what he said that he would do. Twice, Gideon reminded God what he said, he had said. Twice, Gideon asked God to reaffirm his promise with the miracles. Let me say this. Be careful how you ask God. If you want me to get this, open the door. Sometimes I asked before, be careful. Just because the door is opening, it doesn't mean it is from God. Can Satan do a miracle? It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. Yes, he can do a miracle. Can he confuse us by opening the door that the Lord doesn't want us to go in? Do be careful. Just because the door is opening, it doesn't mean that that's the door the Lord wants us to go in. Ask the Lord before you step in. The fact that God stooped to Gideon's weakness only proves that our God is a gracious God who understands how we are made. Who are we to tell God what conditions he must meet, especially when he is already spoken to us in his words? Putting out the fleece is not only evidence of our unbelief, but also is our pride. Are you with me on that? Does God have to do what I tell him to do before I do what he tells me to do? Not in an eternity. That's absurd. We are his servant. To be exact, we are his slave. He is not our slaves. Okay. Applications. Before I come up with mine, you tell me. Oh, by the way, I have this migraine headache thingy. There is a jagged line floating around wherever I turn, it's there. Really annoying. Anyone?
When God trusts you to do something, don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Who else? I can see you're going to say something. You didn't raise your hand, but you're going to say something.
It is important, Barrett, though.
Yes. Very. Test. It says test all spirits. Yes, Jen.
Just who doesn't think much can see that they're totally outnumbered. Gun.
One plus God is the majority. Do you know that? Not 99. One plus God. Okay, who else? Okay, I have a three for you. The motive for the Christian living is not that we might gain something we don't have, but that we might live up to what we already have in Christ. What do we have in Christ? We have hope. We have unlimited love, abounding love. We have everlasting mercy from God. And we still think that we have to get love from some other human being. Do you know human beings are fickle? Do you know that? You have noticed that? I told you before, the way the people like about pastor is going from the penthouse to outhouse is zip seconds. One moment they love the pastor, next moment don't care about him, we should kill him. Second application. Faith means obeying God in spite of what we see and how we feel or what the consequences might be. Faith means obeying God in spite of what we see, how we feel, or what the consequences might be. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. You cannot talk about faith without talking about Hebrews chapter 11, right? Hebrews 11, verse 1. You all there yet? Way in the back in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11. Now the faith is a substance of the things, what? Hoped for, and the evidence of the things not seen. Let's read it one more time. Now the faith is the sustenance of the things hoped for and the evidence of the things not seen. Great word. Third application. It is worth noting that It is worth noting that true believers cannot build an altar to the Lord unless first they tear down the altar that have built to the false God, that's including ourselves, they worship in their hearts. In my opinion, this is purely my opinion, but I think I'm correct on this thing. The biggest competition against God is ourselves. Would you agree? That's why people don't come to church on Sunday morning. Oh, there is a good game. I gotta do this. Really? So God just lost the competition against you? No, whenever we do that, we are the one who is losing. All right, let's stand up and pray.